Hey, welcome to Politico Tech. Today's Friday, April 12th. I'm Stephen Overly. The House has been wrestling for days with how to extend a foreign surveillance law that is set to expire next week. And in true Congress fashion, late last night, there was a breakthrough. That means this morning, lawmakers are expected to cast votes, both on a bill that would reauthorize the law and a series of hotly contested amendments. The surveillance program in question is Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, often referred to as FISA. It essentially allows the U.S. to spy on foreign nationals overseas without getting warrants. The fight over this is one that's been brewing for months. On the one side, you've got national security hawks, who have wanted to keep FISA largely intact. And then there are the law's critics, who contend it has been used to spy on American citizens and say it needs significant reform. This has especially been a headache for House Speaker Mike Johnson, who already failed to rally his fellow Republicans once this week. This is something you're going to want to watch today. Yesterday afternoon, before all of this late-night maneuvering, I called up Elizabeth Goitein. She's decidedly in that pro-reform camp. She's a former Capitol Hill attorney and now leads the Liberty and National Security Program at NYU's Brennan Center for Justice. I wanted to talk about the state of the political fight and the calls for change from both the right and the left. Here's our conversation. Elizabeth, welcome to Politico Tech.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
I want to talk about the political tensions that have sort of formed around this. On the one side here, we have particularly the U.S. intelligence community and lawmakers who are very aligned with it that are concerned about the surveillance power potentially expiring on April 19th. What is their argument for why this has become so critical to national security?
Well, nobody doubts that Section 702 is critical to national security to the extent that it allows the government to collect and review foreigners' communications, which is the core of this law. It's an authority that is intended to target only foreigners overseas. The disagreement is over whether the government should be able to use it to gain warrantless access to Americans' communications. And that particular use of the law has not been shown to be critical in any respect to national security. So if the government and if the intelligence community and its supporters in Congress want to preserve the core of this authority, the valuable core, the best way to do it is to agree to protections for Americans' privacy, because that's really what reformers want to see. They are not trying to kill Section 702. They are not arguing for it to expire. They've introduced several bills that would reauthorize the law, leaving the core of the law intact, completely intact. And that's the government's ability to collect and review foreigners' communications, but adding in protections for Americans who get caught up in this surveillance.
Well, there are, as you said, a few key reforms that I know outside sort of privacy advocates, as well as lawmakers on both the left and the right, have been calling for, one of which is often referred to as closing the loophole on backdoor searches, essentially searches on Americans and their data. Walk me through the issue there.
Sure. Section 702 allows the government to target almost any foreigner overseas and to collect all of their communications without a warrant. Even though the target has to be a foreigner overseas, the surveillance inevitably sweeps in enormous amounts of Americans' communications because Americans communicate with foreigners. The government would usually need a warrant to collect those communications. So to protect Americans' constitutional rights, Congress required the government to minimize the retention and use of Americans' information. But despite that mandate, and this is why Section 702 is so controversial, every agency that receives Section 702 data routinely searches through that data for the express purpose of finding and reviewing Americans' phone calls, text messages, and emails. The FBI conducted 200,000 of these backdoor searches in 2022 alone. And these searches have included alarming abuses, including searches aimed at Black Lives Matter protesters, members of Congress, in one case, more than 19,000 donors to a congressional campaign and journalists. So that is why members on both sides of the aisle are pressing for reforms.
This is an issue that has been debated for a number of years now. What kind of solutions are being floated?
The primary reform that's being advocated by lawmakers is a requirement that the government obtain a warrant before searching through Section 702 data for Americans' communications. And the warrant requirement that they have proposed has several exceptions to accommodate legitimate security needs. For example, an exception for emergency situations. But it's important to remember that the entire reason the government was able to obtain these communications without a warrant was because it certified that it was targeting only foreigners. If that premise shifts, if the government now wants to run a search for an American, it should have to go back and get the warrant that it skipped at the front end. This is a very popular proposal that's been around for over a decade. It was proposed in 2013 by a group of experts that was appointed by President Obama, that included former top national security officials, a former acting director of the CIA, and a chief counterterrorism officer to President George W. Bush. The House has actually voted twice for this reform, and it's supported by more than 75% of Americans. So this is just a sort of common sense measure that has really broad bipartisan support.
I guess with that bipartisan support in mind, the natural question is, why hasn't it passed? Is it just concern that it may weaken this national security law in some way?
Well, I think if there were a straight up and down vote on it, it would pass. I think the problem is that there are various ways in Congress that powerful members can prevent the full Congress or the full House or the full Senate from voting on things that they don't want to see votes on. I would say in the past, we didn't have the same evidence of abuse of backdoor searches. And that evidence has really piled up over the last few years. So to me, warrantless searches for Americans' communications isn't itself an abuse. But to really underscore why it's so problematic, I think these particular abuses in terms of searches for members of Congress, political protesters in particular, I mean, we have seen that the government has performed unlawful searches on literally tens of thousands of Americans involved in civil unrest. That was a finding of the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board. I think that has really sharpened the concerns around this practice. And sort of without that information, I think it was a little bit more abstract an issue. Now it's quite concrete.
One of the other big changes, I think, since this law was first passed back in 2008 is the emergence of really big data, to use the term, but the fact that because of our connected devices, because of our internet habits, you know, there's so much data out there on American citizens. And one thing we've talked about on the podcast before is that federal agencies are increasingly buying up that data through third-party data brokers. I know that's a practice that you also want to see curtailed. Others want to see curtailed. What exactly is the call to action there?
Yeah. So one of the key amendments that's been put forward is an amendment to end the government's practice of evading constitutional and statutory privacy protections by purchasing Americans' sensitive information from data brokers. And let me just explain how that works. I mean, the best example I can think of is geolocation information. In 2018, the Supreme Court held that police officers need to get a warrant before obtaining cell phone location information from a phone company. And the court's reasoning was that this data can reveal some of the most private and sensitive information about a person, their associations, their habits, even their beliefs. So that was the court's holding. Fast forward a couple of years, and we start seeing reports by investigative journalists that federal agencies have been buying access to entire databases of Americans' cell phone location information from data brokers without a warrant or any legal process whatsoever. There are also statutes that are being evaded. So the Electronic Communications Privacy Act prohibits phone and internet companies from disclosing customer information to a government agency unless the agency has a warrant or a court order or a subpoena. But the law is really badly outdated, and it doesn't apply to digital data brokers because they basically didn't exist in 1986 when the law was passed. So companies that are barred from selling their data to the government can instead just sell it to a data broker, and the data broker can turn around and sell the exact same data to the government. And so the data is basically laundered through a middleman. So most members of Congress, I would say, want to close this loophole by enacting legislation that would prohibit the government from purchasing information if it would otherwise need a court order, a warrant, or a subpoena to get that information. And that just basically closes these gaps in the law to ensure that the government can't buy its way around the Fourth Amendment and other legal protections.
This may seem like an obvious question, but I mean, in your view, is it just that these law enforcement and intelligence agencies want the back doors because it's easier and faster than having to go the warrant route and prove to a court that there's legitimacy for these searches and the surveillance on Americans?
Absolutely. It's just much easier and faster for them if they don't have to go to court to get a warrant. It is, you know, much more convenient to bypass that step. But we can't allow the government to bypass Fourth Amendment rights for convenience. That's just not the balance that the framers struck.
The way that the debate has played out this week in particular is kind of fascinating from a political perspective, because you've had a number of Republicans sort of break with Speaker Mike Johnson in rejecting reauthorization of the law, at least as it's being put forward. Is anything about the politics of how this is playing out right now surprising to you?
It's not, because I've been doing this for a long time, and surveillance reform has always been a broadly bipartisan issue. If you look at the violations of the rules for backdoor searches that have happened, there have been searches for the communications of Black Lives Matter protesters, and there have been searches for people associated with a group suspected of involvement in the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. If you look at data brokers can be used to purchase information about people seeking reproductive health care. It can also be used to get information about people making firearms purchases at gun stores. So this is an issue that really transcends party lines. And there has, for a very long time, been a coalition of lawmakers on the left and the right, and civil society organizations on the left and the right, pushing for greater protections for Americans' privacy.
I'm curious now how you see this issue progressing. I mean, this is still very much a live issue. Even as we speak, there's political maneuvering on the Hill to get some sort of vote ahead of the April 19th expiration date. The reality is no lawmaker wants to like risk being seen as weakening national security or then getting blamed if something should happen, either inside or outside the United States. It seems like, with that in mind, something will happen before the program expires. I guess my question is, what are you expecting will happen?
Reformers have shown their willingness to negotiate in good faith. What they're not willing to do is reauthorize a law that has been so widely abused without any meaningful reforms to prevent abuse. So I will say that in terms of, you know, the expiration that's coming up on April 19th, it's a little bit of an illusion. And that's because the government in this past month went back to the FISA court and asked for approval to conduct Section 702 surveillance for another year. And the way that the government interprets the law is that even if the underlying authority expires, that court order, that approval stays in place until it expires. So it's sort of grandfathers surveillance till the end of that order. So the government fully intends to continue Section 702 surveillance after April 19th, even if the law expires. And so with that in mind, members of Congress should not feel rushed into passing something that doesn't protect Americans' privacy.
Elizabeth, thank you for making the time to join us on Politico Tech.
Thank you very much.
That's all for today's Politico Tech. For more tech news, subscribe to our newsletters, Digital Future Daily and Morning Tech. Music in today's episode comes from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Our managing producer is Annie Reese. Our producer is Afra Abdullah. And our editors are Steve Heuser, Daniela Cheslow, and Louisa Savage. I'm Stephen Overley. See you back here on Monday.